Next item is our general discussion of our wolf position statement. And the purpose today is to continue to review, edit, and add comments to our position statement. This is not a decision time. This is a review, briefing, discussion amongst the commission. And that, I'll ask Mr. Wicker to help lead our discussions. We've received the draft. We've received input from our chair, Miranda Wicker, and from our director, as well as several commissioners. I think we all have copies of those. So at this time, I'll open it up for discussion.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Wicker.
Yeah, I thought I'd just go through the various changes that I've proposed. And again, this is not a time in which we expect to have any voting. The intent here is to just have a respectful, deliberative discussion about these concepts, the new concepts that I'm proposing to add to our position statement. There's a few minor edits, but I'll just go through in case others have not had a chance to look at these yet. On page one.
Chair Wicker, this is Commissioner Caney. Could you tell us which version you're working off of? Is it the March 13th or the March 9th?
The March 13th. This is the one that includes, it's titled MW and PA edits to the title, edits to the March 9th, 2012 Wolves in Washington.
Okay, thank you.
So this one includes, I've included both my new suggestions and a couple that we received from the director. The ones on page one are very minor. You can see we've eliminated state correct this to the correct title of the Fish and Wildlife Commission on line five. Then on line 12, changed our to the. That was a recommendation of Commissioner Perry. Then lower on page, on line 48, just added a comma and struck the additional and, unnecessary and. Moving, so those are just wordsmithing. Page 2, line 31, added unacceptable impacts on ungulates, so that covers the gamut of all of the concerns that we have listed in our major topics. Not a major change. Then moving on to page 3, we changed only to solely. That was just wordsmithing again. But moving down to line 82, I moved the last, a sentence that appeared a couple sentences down above so that the paragraph would flow a little better, and added some language from 90 to 95 on translocation and the sensitivities, the social divisiveness that I've experienced translocation would create in areas where wolves have not naturally recolonated as yet. So this goes to the addressing the attitudes that I've heard expressed quite frequently in my area, that there being a difference in the way people view the use of translocation as opposed to natural recolonization. And all that I'm proposing is that we acknowledge what we know to be true, which is that we would not use translocation into areas without wolves without assuring that our process is consistent with CEPA and allowing for public comment. I think we all agree, we've heard from the director that that is the process that the agency would expect to use before resorting to translocation, and this just makes it clear. And I also added a sentence, as I mentioned before at the commission meeting, that some legislators had expressed to me concern that we speak with the federal agencies and make sure that they don't intend to do translocation without informing us, without consulting with us. So this is language that directs the department to seek agreement with federal agencies to assure a similar review, similar to our SEPA process, prior to translocation of wolves on federal lands. So I'd like to have a conversation about that one before we go on. Does anyone have any objection to adding that? Any thoughts in response?
Commissioner Wecker, this is Commissioner Dubia. I'm a little need a clarification. Does that mean we would have to get federal approval to translocate onto national parks, not St. Helens or something like that?
Now, this is just to, I mean, the language that I included would only direct the department to seek agreement to assure that the federal agencies conduct a review similar to our SEPA review before they translocate between federal lands.
So it wouldn't affect our translocation. It would only affect if the federal government translocated wolves.
Right. And I am not sure that the federal agencies, I have no information that suggests that the federal agencies are considering translocating between federal lands. I seriously doubt that they would consider doing that. But this would just direct the department to have discussions with federal agencies about that and express our desire to have communities that are affected offered an opportunity to comment.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Schmitten.
Yes, Chair Wecker. Initially, you said you wanted two things to be achieved. One, to be kept informed, and then secondly, as I read this last statement, to seek agreement to assure a similar process. Do you need to insert the piece about being kept informed?
Could you repeat that again?
Initially, when you introduced this, you said you were asking for two things. One, to be kept informed by federal agencies on issues concerning translocation. And then secondly, as 9495 reads, to seek assurances that a similar review would occur. And my question was, do you need to insert something about the desire to be kept informed?
I could. Okay, that would be a good idea.
Vice Chair Dubia, Commissioner Jennings.
Yeah, Commissioner Jennings.
In general, I thought this was a well-written section and just clarified what our process would be to help reduce any anxiety on the part of folks that might think we would just be catching a problem wolf and moving it without a whole lot of discussion or following any sort of state process. I understand Commissioner Schmitten's comment about wanting to add some clarifying language to when we're working with federal agencies, but I can certainly accept the paragraph as or the additional language as written, or we can add the additional language that Commissioner Schmitten indicated would be helpful.
This is Commissioner Dubia. it's still that line 94, 95 still means to me that we need to get federal approval if we're all delisted within the state of Washington and we chose to relocate, translocate a wolf, we would have to get federal approval to put it onto federal land. I don't think that's what we want to have there. It's confusing to me.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Commissioner Jennings.
But it seems like that we would have to have. I mean, we couldn't just show up on National Park Service land with a crate full of wolves and let them go without having some understanding and agreement with the National Park Service as an example before we could do that.
Well, we'd have to go through the CEPA process, and I would assume that that would be part of that.
Commissioner Haney, I think maybe what I'm saying, though, is that we probably have to go through NEPA as well. And so maybe that's just the consultation component of this. An additional requirement, if it went on the federal land, would be NEPA.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yeah, Commissioner Director Anderson.
Thank you. I was going to support Commissioner Caney's perspective that if wolves were going to be translocated and released on federal lands, the federal agencies are going to have to go through NEPA. In addition, if we were using federal funds that were provided to us to support translocation activities, that would also trigger a requirement for NEPA. So it seems to me that, and while we didn't want to, well, I'm not sure we wanted to try to wordsmith this over the phone, but I think we need to add that on line 92, where we're talking about will only be used consistent with provisions of state and federal statutes and other legal requirements as appropriate, something of that kind of language to acknowledge that there are both federal and state statutory requirements, including CEPA and NEPA, that would need to be complied with prior to translocation of wolves onto, in this case, federal lands, and certainly if we were doing it on federal lands, we'd need to do through CEPA.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you. Yeah, Commissioner Wicker.
Well, this is all very good input. So I will work with the director's office to wordsmith this a little bit, to edit it, to capture the relevance of federal law as well to us, and come up with some language that's, that captures that before our April meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Wicker. Why don't you proceed?
Okay. Moving on to the next page, page 4, looking at line 101, in the first draft, I had proposed language in which we recognized that there was a difference between a situation in which prey species were very abundant or even overabundant as they were in the Yellowstone park situation, compared with non-park landscapes where the prey populations are hunted and therefore, in many cases, not overly abundant, and draw that contrast and be fairly plain-spoken in that where prey populations are less abundant, the impacts of wolves on ecosystem health may not be as beneficial or so beneficial as they are in places where the prey populations are overabundant. So I propose to use that parallel construction that the impacts of wolves may not be so beneficial. Commissioner Jennings suggested we change that word beneficial to clear, suggesting that the impacts may not be clear. And I would, and I recognize that that is also a true statement, but I wanted to have a discussion about, maybe this is not so important, but I feel that the commission should consider making a statement that the impacts of wolves in non-park landscapes may not be as beneficial or so beneficial as they have been in Yellowstone. So I just wanted that to be discussed. The implications then are important for the senses that follow, in which we talk about our elk populations, for the most part, are either meeting population objectives or below population objectives, or we have not set population objectives. There is only two herds that are exceeding our objectives at present.
Vice Chair Duvia, this is Commissioner Caney.
Yes, Commissioner Caney, please.
In reading that and listening to some of the comments that were received from some of the conservation organizations, I think I would agree with Commissioner Jennings that the word clear, or it may not, or it may be unclear, you know, one or the other, so clear or unclear, just is a little more positive tone. And I think that's some of the comments that we received from those organizations, is even though we're creating a position statement that is, you know, all the thoughts we have after the plan is passed, a little bit more positive approach in some of our wording would be good. So I think saying we don't know that it's beneficial is a different statement than saying we just don't know the effects. So I would go along with that.
Vice Chair,
Mr. Vice Chair.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Commissioner Jennings.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Yes.
I guess where I was coming from with this was, one, I wanted to keep it neutral as opposed to, and partially in response to a concern that the overall tone of wolves coming back is negative. But also I think the general ecosystem science shows that the presence of apex predators on the landscape is, in general, a positive thing for the overall plant and animal community. May not necessarily be for the individual prey species we're talking about, but for, you know, plant diversity and other species, that having a full complement of predators is the right thing for ecosystem health. And so that's why I was looking for a neutral statement of the impact of wolves on land ecosystem health may not be so clear. I see that as a neutral statement, but in consistent with what science has been showing.
Commissioner Perry.
Thank you. I guess I'm not too concerned about whether it's clear or beneficial. I can see benefits to both terms. They are a little bit different, but I think the thought that people would have if they read this would be similar. I guess I like the fact that we have the statement in line 98 through about 101 on the copy that I'm looking at. That's complemented by the following paragraph indicating that elk populations or prey species populations are just barely what we'd like, or maybe below what we would like, and that we do have hunting, and this is closely regulated to try to maintain these populations. I think those two complement each other, indicating that wolves will be an addition. additional impact on these prey species. So again, I'm not too concerned about which word we use, but I like the combination of those two paragraphs.
Any other comments on line 98 through 102?
This is Commissioner Caney again.
Commissioner Caney.
I would just like to say that I think what the line 101 is really after is the magnitude difference. You know, where in Yellowstone there was obvious changes to the ecosystem in a fairly short period of time, but there had never been hunting. And so the magnitude of what's going to happen, we don't really know. And I don't know that you need that word in there, but I think the word clear is, to me, a better approach, because not so beneficial kind of aims at, well, we're not even sure if it is going to be beneficial. Well, I think the science does point to there's beneficial effects, but the magnitude, we don't understand the magnitude.
Madam Chair, this is Commissioner Mankin. Mr. Vice Chair, I'm wondering if we're all reading from the same copy here. And line 101 on my copy here, the copy that was provided by Miranda and her changes, doesn't have anything to do with ecosystem impacts. It says hunting opportunity has long been closely regulated to achieve herd objectives. Am I reading from the wrong copy here?
Well, Commissioner Mankin, we're debating the use of the term clear or the use of the term beneficial in line 101, just above that, a few lines above that. Rather than belaboring this, I appreciate some of the comments that have been made by Commissioner Jennings and Commissioner Caning about the tone issue, and I agree that it was an attempt at a description of magnitude of the benefits, magnitude of the apparent changes to the ecosystem, because I, for one, have been somewhat distressed to see people comparing Yellowstone National Park with with landscapes that are hunted regularly. I think the comparison is difficult to make, and people assume that the impacts are all going to be on a similar scale to those seen in Yellowstone, and I just don't think there is any science to show that. But I'm quite happy to change it to clear at this point. I don't want to belabor this discussion.
This is Mr. Dubia. I think the beneficial is more appropriate, and if you want to change beneficial in line 101, you need to change beneficial in line 99. Those two are hooked together, and for consistency in the thought process, I think they both should be used the word beneficial. If you work on the wordsmithing for us, and
okay,
we'll continue this discussion, and we continue on for us.
Okay. Any further discussion on the statement about the elk herds? The previous statement about the elk herds was not accurate in the first draft. So I went back and I looked at the summaries of the elk herd status that we included in our recovery plan, and this is what I gleaned, that 3 are meeting population objectives, 3 are below their population objectives, and 2 do not have set objectives as yet. Only 2 herds currently exceed objectives. And the point being there is that I thought it was important to go on the record with an acknowledgement that in our state, our elk herds are not overly abundant. We're not facing a situation in which the elk herds are excessive, and we need to remedy the situation. We've, in fact, I think, heard from a lot of hunters. I think we have hunters on the commission who choose to hunt in Idaho or have in the past, go out of state to Montana to hunt elk because our herd populations are rather limited and our opportunity as a consequence is rather limited. So this was just an acknowledgement of the general picture that I'm not sure everyone fully appreciates, especially those who are not hunters. So I propose to put this statement back into the position statement in a corrected form.
Vice Chair Duvia, this is Commissioner Keeney.
Commissioner Keeney.
And I appreciate the correction to this statement, and I agree with it. I would say that you could, using the word only, could be done in a couple of different ways. You could say three are meeting population objectives, two are exceeding objectives, and only three are below objectives. So the use of the word only kind of throws your opinion of this paragraph, and I think we should just, it looks fine if we would just drop the only, because just saying two herds currently exceed objectives, that's just the fact. The word only appears to be driving people to a conclusion.
Other comments?
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Mr. Jennings.
The other is, and this is a question for Phil, the phrase, two do not have set objectives as yet. My understanding was that based on the terrain, that there was not an expectation that a formal objective would be set for those two populations. And that's a question.
Thanks, Commissioner Jennings. I think you're correct. I know we're working on trying to establish an objective for the Selkirk herd. That's probably that's the one that is in areas where we're having a tough time monitoring the population because of the ground cover. The other one is that doesn't have a population objective, I believe, is the Willapaw herd. And I think our Region 6 staff is also working on trying to come forward with an objective for that herd.
So what I'm hearing is the as yet is an appropriate part of that phrase?
Did you say is appropriate?
Is, it's a question. Yes. My sense was it was not.
I believe it is.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Perry.
I guess I would disagree with the comment about the only. I think the only critical to the intent of that paragraph. I know many people that I talked to and testimony that we heard before the Wolf Plan, Wolf Recovery Plan was passed, seemed to indicate that people assumed that there was just lots of deer and elk out there and that wolves available for wolf consumption and hunting opportunity was just no problem at all, and I think this statement indicates that that isn't necessarily the case. With the closely regulated hunting, we have the situation that's described there with only two herds currently exceeding objectives. I see that statement as very clear and describing the situation that there isn't necessarily an overabundance of elk out there.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Mr. Jennings.
I guess I react a little bit differently, and if we end up leaving this paragraph in here, I can certainly accept that. But the underlying assumption I'm hearing is that the objective set without wolves should not be expected to change when wolves come in. And I think what we're hearing from a lot of the public is they do recognize that wolves, quote, or not a quote, but in a sense, get a share of the elk population. And so if they get a share and it turns out to be an additive mortality as opposed to compensatory, then I think it is realistic to expect that those objectives for all the elk populations may change from a hunting opportunity perspective. But we manage the elk not just for hunting opportunities, but for ecosystem values, and one of those ecosystem values is predator support. So I'm happy with the paragraph, but I think the tone, the way I'm interpreting the tone, is that the objective set pre-wolf should not change when wolves come in. And I'm not sure that's a realistic assumption.
Other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Mankin.
Commissioner Mankin.
Yeah, I think next year that paragraph might just be out of date. The problem with it is that's the present situation in the state. But if you set objectives as of next year for those other two herds, then this paragraph is out of date. And my concern with this is that the document we're talking about is one that should last for several years where we don't have to go back and change it. If you want to put a date on this, like saying as of 2012, Washington's 10 elk herds, et cetera, then I'm comfortable with it. Otherwise, I accept the paragraph as it is. One other comment I have when we get down into the next paragraph is that in the middle of that next paragraph, it says the commission's concerns with potential future impact of wolves on ungulate populations, deer, elk, and moose. Seems to me that should be your lead sentence up at the very beginning, because everything you talk about then falls under that, it would seem to me.
Thank you, Commissioner Mankin. I'll make this, Commissioner Dubia, and my comment would be that I think the only two herds currently is a true reflection of what the public is aware of in terms of the elk population, and maybe we do need to add something that population objectives for herds, predators, and in relationship to the whole ecosystem will be adjusted as we learn from the growth of the wolf population, or something to that effect. But one of the things that's out there now is the hunting community trying to convey to them that the commission is aware of where we are, and we're trying to come up with something telling them where we're going. So we've got to make sure that they leave this document with the understanding that we are aware of the situation and we are planning to maintain populations and healthy ecosystem out there. So maybe the director, chairman, can wordsmith that a little bit and bring it to the next commission.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Perry.
I'll make one more comment on this paragraph. I think Commissioner Mankin's suggestion that there be maybe a date or something put on there, I think is good, because that's indicating what the situation is now, today. And it's indicating that this is the situation with a major impact, which is hunting, closely regulated to get to this situation. And I also agree that elk and even predators are certainly not only hunted but enjoyed by other folks. But I don't think that's neither here nor there. The hunting is a major impact, and it's closely regulated to achieve that stated condition currently. And I think that's all it's trying to point out, and that as wolves move in, it may be different, but that's the way it is today without wolves.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Caney.
Yeah, and I guess I agree with what you said, Commissioner Duvia, that adding a few things here could clear it up, and I'm definitely not hung up on one word like only. And I also appreciate the paragraph as it ties to that paragraph that explains the North American model of wildlife conservation. So I understand, you know, the attempt here is to tell hunters, we respect you, we know you, we know you're a big part of this whole equation. We recognize that, and our elk are certainly not in the numbers that have occurred in national parks and whatnot. So I can go along with what everyone's saying on this.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Walker.
Yeah, well, that's all really terrific input. I appreciate the conversation that we're having. I'm getting a sense of where different commissioners are coming from, so that's exactly what I hope to accomplish here. So let's move on to this description of the North American model of wildlife conservation. Any additional feedback on that?
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Commissioner Jennings.
I did send out some minor edits to that paragraph last evening. I'm not sure if folks have had a chance to see it. I was just, let me find it real quick here. Minor wordsmithing that, where was it? In the, on line 111, currently it's efficient means to limit wildlife populations. I suggest that a better term than limit would be help regulate. Limit sort of says it preventing them from getting larger, but I think regulate lets us also include things like sex ratios or age class structure. And the second is a more meaningful change in the lines on 112, 113. The way it reads is resulting impacts on hunting opportunity and the continued viability. And I think really what we're talking about is more the impact on hunting license sales, because the whole point of the, I assume in the discussion of the North American model is that hunting licenses help us provide the resources to effectively manage our wildlife resource. And if we get a big decrease in license sales, it will impair our ability to manage with the same fiscal resources that we've had in the past. So I think the focus here is not on hunting opportunity, but potential impact on hunting license sales. And I did try and provide a suggested draft language, and it would read, the commission is concerned with potential future impacts of wolves and ungulate populations, deer, elk, and moose, and any associated reduction in hunting license sales affecting the continued viability of the North American model in our state. And that's in an email that you should all have that was sent out about 1:45 yesterday afternoon.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Perry.
Yeah, I just have a comment on one word. I believe it's on, I maybe have a different version than everybody else, but I think it's on line 109, and the term is limit wildlife populations. And I would like to see that word limit taken out and replaced by the word management. Efficient means to manage wildlife populations, because I don't think it's necessarily limit. Sometimes hunting is reduced to increase the population. Sometimes it's increased to reduce wildlife populations. So I think manage is a much better term.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Commissioner Jennings?
Yeah, that was the same word I was referring to, and my phrase was help regulate, but I'm comfortable with Commissioner Perry's substitution of or suggestion of manage.
Okay. Any other comments on the North American model paragraph?
Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Caney.
Yeah, Commissioner Caney.
I just add this, and I'm not sure if it needs to be in there, but I'd throw this out that also under the North American model, eventually down the road, there could be increases in license sales for wolf hunts. You know, and I think sometimes we forget that you know, this all ties together eventually, you know, down the road, 10 years from now. We'll probably look back and have got through all the fears of wolves and know more about their effects on populations, and there'll be a hunting season somewhere in our state. And so that's also part of the North American model. I don't know if it's worth adding here or not, but I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Additional comments? We proceed on. Commissioner Wacker.
Okay. Moving down to line 125, substitute some for potentially impacted livestock owners. I think that's a more accurate, fair statement that some livestock owners fear that the department cannot be relied upon. Okay. Moving then to the next page.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Smitten.
I wanted to think out loud about this last sentence. You know, it's certainly true, but I'm beginning to wonder or question the value of the last phrase. The part that's true and we need to work on certainly is the livestock owners' fear that the department can't be relied upon to respond promptly with effective tools. The part that says no matter what assurances are included in the WIF plan, it seems to me that it would be a much more stronger message to drop that piece. You know, our statement is supposed to be addressing all the issues in the WIF plan, but if the view is no matter what assurances are in that plan, there's always a doubt. I'm just not sure that's value added.
Any other thoughts on that?
Commissioner Wacker, this is Commissioner Dubey. I kind of would agree with Commissioner Smitten. I think that if we were to word that such that with future effective tools, maybe we can correct the misunderstandings or differences of opinion that we shared by the gentleman, or something to that extent that makes it a little more positive and forward thinking, I think.
Okay.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Mr. Perry.
I guess I could agree with removing that, although I think the reason it was put in to start with was to recognize the constant complaints we got from the livestock industry that nothing was, the department wasn't doing anything or that they weren't reacting, so on. I know we got a lot of testimony to that effect, and I know I heard a lot at various meetings and so forth, and I think this was put in there just simply to recognize the fact that there was a lot of concern about the ability of the department to react. But I guess I would agree that if it was taken out, it would make that statement a little more positive.
Okay.
Continue, Commissioner Wacker.
Yeah. Let's move on to page 5 then. Now, this is probably the most important fork in the road policy choice that we will be making in relation to this position statement. And what what I've added here is language that directs the department in a more specific way than the initial draft language did. Looking at lines 145 to 148, this addresses the timing and the content of wolf population management plans. Now we've, here's some of the background on that. When we were first informed about the recovery plan, the Wolf Advisory Group was already in place and working. So the commission was not involved in setting any real sideboards for the development of the recovery plan. And I think we've talked about how that was somewhat unfortunate that the commission didn't get involved in that process until later on. I see this position statement as an effort by the commission to set some sideboards, be engaged in the front part of this development of a management plan that would be in effect after wolves are delisted. So this is the management plan that we're looking forward to post-delisting. This is creating a vision of how we're going to manage wolves once they're fully recovered. And what we've heard, there's a good argument that we should pay attention to the need to get ahead of the curve, meaning not try to catch up with wolf populations that have caused unacceptable levels of conflict, but be proactive and think through what level is the optimum level of wolf population, just as we think in terms of what is the optimum level of prey populations. So this language that I'm proposing, and I have included the director's suggested alternative language in the comment balloons on the right-hand side of your document. You'll see the director has proposed alternative language for these sections pertaining to the wolf population management plans, and I've highlighted those. They are not consistent with what I'm proposing in the language that you see underlined in red. The director's proposed suggestions are more general and provide that he's suggesting that we mandate that the department take initial steps towards developing a long-term management plan and direct that a framework be developed that at minimum and specifies minimum aspects of that management plan. But so this is a very pivotal, this to me is a very different kind of decision that we have to make here. We can either go the route of making a general statement that we want the management plans to start being developed, or we can specify that we would like to see in those management plans regional population minimums and maximum objectives. I wanted to get some feedback on that, some views, suggestions, alternatives.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Perry.
Thank you. I guess I would agree with the statement that the chair has proposed here, and I think that really contains everything that the director would want. What the director's statement is essentially saying is that's how they would go about developing a management plan. And but I think that the fact that the this statement indicates the that they direct the department to do this doesn't give a timeline and so forth, but it directs them to start doing it. And I think the things that the director has indicated in his statement fall into that very, very nicely. So I think there's a lot to developing a management plan and a lot of things to consider, and I think starting on that would be good right now or soon.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Commissioner Jennings.
I'm totally in support of us, of the Commission, setting expectations for the department to start developing a post-recovery management plan for wolves. I am very comfortable with us setting objectives for what that recovered population looks like on the landscape. The problem I have with the suggested language from Chair Wecker is that the terms, key terms, don't have definitions. Regional population, maximum objectives. What I really, a light bulb went off for me at the last commission meeting when we were briefed on management of cougars and management of bears and the use of population management units and having a, and where I think we're going and where I think we should be going with wolves is figuring out what those population management units are and having specific management objectives for each one of those population management units. And that may well be that for a particular management unit that does include wolf, suitable wolf habitat, because that's why it would be a population management unit, that the objective may be close to zero if it's in a area where we expect to have conflict with, for example, livestock. And I'm comfortable with the approach that lets us give the staff department direction to develop that landscape level population management unit based approach to it. The problem, one of the problems I have with how we're phrasing it is I think it's going to be seen as setting an absolute cap on population of wolves in the state, and that's going to have a lot of people react negatively as opposed to setting clear expectations of how we manage them and how we set the expectations for what is the suitable population level of wolves. And so I'm not in disagreement with the where I think Commissioner Wecker's heading with her comments, but the words themselves caused me a lot of heartburn.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Perry.
Yeah, I forgot to indicate one other view on this paragraph, and I like it in the fact that we seem to be putting wolves into our regular management program, and which I think we should do, and I think that will maybe take the focus off of wolves and put them more into an ecosystem perspective that their relationship to the rest of the species out there and how they're going to be managed. I think up to this point, the focus has been just on wolves, and I think that, suggesting that they be managed like any other game species or non-game species, as far as that goes, is a really positive move and a more practical way to look at their management on the landscape, that they'll be balanced with their impacts on other species and so on.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Koenig.
Yes, and I think this is a really critical paragraph. I really understand where Commissioner Wecker is taking this. I also wanted to point out, though, that we don't have 80 or 90 years of data on the population of wolves like we do on other prey species to help guide those minimum maximum objectives, and may not for some time understand, you know, what is that acceptable level on the landscape. So I really don't particularly like the similar to prey population management, even though I understand what that's saying. You know, that we're going to treat them as a population at some point is important. And I think maybe, though, also I agree with the idea that you need a statewide plan or a framework for a plan, if we went with the director's language, but at the same time, bringing up minimum and maximum objectives to me might not be the right wording, but regional is. I think we do need to include regional population, and then you could go right into the director's statements of provisions that balance wolves' persistence on the landscape with mitigating their impact to other wildlife species and minimizing unacceptable levels of conflict. I think that's a pretty strong paragraph that says we are asking the department to immediately start to look at a statewide framework for a population management plan, as well as including regional population, and I'm looking then now for the words, that include the balance of wolves' persistence on the landscape from the director's language. So it seems like a little combination of both of these, in my mind, would get to the points that we're trying to say to the department.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, Director Anderson, please.
I don't want to interrupt at an inappropriate time. I did want to have a chance to speak to the rationale behind my language that I proposed.
All right, please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, just stepping back, I think we're in a very delicate place as we move forward with the implementation of our conservation and management plan. I thought the commission took a bold step in adopting that plan. There was lots of speculation that there was going to be a litigation brought against the department. That has not occurred. And as you know, all know, we're in full speed ahead mode in terms of implementing that plan, with a special emphasis on looking at and dealing with impacts to livestock operators, and looking at impacts to ungulate populations, and providing education and training and building partnerships, particularly in areas where we have I'll say a significant number of wolves on the landscape today. As we move forward, and I understand and recognize the need to begin the development of a long-term management plan, that will require us to go through a SEPA process, and a SEPA process starts out with a scoping part, what the scope of the plan. And so questions about regional populations, minimum and maximum objectives, those types of concepts need to come out through the scoping initiation of the development of a long-term plan. And those, as that is done, what our intent was, so that we don't repeat what happened in the development of the conservation management plan at the beginning, is to come back and have regular check-ins with the commission as we move forward and develop the parameters of that long-term plan. There are limits to what we can do on what we can do and the time frame in which we can do it. And as you know, we're putting new resources and redirecting resources to implementation. So the development of the language that I was proposing has us start down that path of developing a long-term plan, taking those initial steps over the course of the next 9 to 12 months, developing a framework which will include, obviously, the SEPA, of utilizing the SEPA process, and checking in with the commission as we go. So that was the thinking behind offering this alternative language.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Schmitten.
Thank you. You know, I actually like the direction of the language.
an improvement over what our neighboring states have done, and that's a point or a ceiling number to manage too. As I've always felt that the regional RIC is an appropriate way to do to approach this. And so I support the concept here. I'm not sure we need the minimum and maximum. We should just indicate we want regional population, including regional populations, and then balances their persistence on the landscape. My only concern is allowing the department the latitude to do the job they need to do. I think this is our statement. It doesn't necessarily, it just directs the FARP to work under or work with these conditions. So I support the concept. I don't care how it ultimately is worded, but of keeping in a regional view. Thank you.
Other comments?
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yeah, Commissioner Perry.
Thank you. I guess my concern is that we have at least two examples and probably three in neighboring states in which they were constrained in one way or another in terms of wolf management, and the wolves simply got out of hand, and they're trying now through the tools that they have, hunting and trapping seasons and so forth, to reduce their wolf population to a manageable level, so it is a balance between predators and prey. And I guess I was hoping that we would have a management plan developed over some period of time that would keep us from getting into the same situation that our neighboring states are in. I certainly appreciate the director starting the wolf management in Washington the way they have. I think that's extremely responsive to commission desire, and I think they're doing all they can and doing it very rapidly. But I would hope that there would be a management plan started that would keep us out of the situation that Montana and Idaho have gotten. So I guess I'll just leave it there.
Other comments?
Just one, if I may.
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Carpenter.
Commissioner Carpenter, please.
I want to preface my comments with the fact that I don't have nearly the knowledge of the wolf issues that my colleagues do, because, right, wrong, or otherwise, I wasn't appointed prior to that taking place, so I don't have the depth of history and background and so on. But listening to what has been said, I am of the approach that I would be more supportive of a general statement, and the reason being, I think, primarily is as this management scheme is evolving, and frankly, it has been, and it will continue to be, and there's a lot of boots on the ground on this particular issue, to use that term. One of the things that I've always been aware of in my many years of doing different things is timing is an incredibly crucial item to making good decisions, and I just think we need to be a little bit more general and move forward. Things are going to continue to evolve. We're going to have reasons and times to update and make modifications to things. I just think we have to give the department general guidance and let that play through and be in a place to have adaptive management, if we may.
Director Anderson.
I would just add the additional piece of the one of the primary reasons that Idaho and Montana got behind is because the federal, the wolf management ended up in the federal court, and the court system ended up managing, if you want to call it that, and it took it out of the state's hands for a lot of years, or a number of years, to the point where it did get where they weren't able to respond appropriately. And that's probably my biggest fear, frankly, is that we end up with managing wolves in the court, whether it's in federal court or state court. And that's why I'm trying to help and advise you as you walk down this path, if we do so in a manner that keeps the management within the commission and the Department of Fish and Wildlife's purview.
Thank you, Director. Any other comments?
Commissioner Smith here?
Yeah, Commissioner Smith?
I enjoyed hearing comments, per usual, but I thought that Commissioner Carpenter's comments were pretty much spot on, and I cast my two cents with that logic.
Thank you. Other comments? This is Commissioner Doobie. I'd like to make one comment on this, and I'm was one of the ones in our wildlife committee. We had several meetings ago suggested that we begin the framework of the next management plan, and that we start on a slow process to build a working document and build those chapters that we have information to do as time goes by. So I think that's was our intent and things. However, I'm also concerned that in Region 1 over here, as the director pointed out, that we are in almost significant management mode already, and level of work is picked up. We have cattlemen Guglielmino missing 16, McIrvin's missing 15, Jeff Dawson 5, John Dawson 4, and we currently have our staff working with Roy Gruber, protecting a small herd of 200 cattle with lowest presence. And so we have a significant increase in population in the last 12 months. We're now in the breeding season. Population will double by summer, most likely. And we are in a lot of the management phases of and progressing rapidly. So I think we need to have some really good meetings with the director and the wildlife staff to figure out how we continue to develop what we're going to do. Because if what was going on in Region 1 was going across, full across the state, we'd be in full management mode. So we've got to try up staff time and allocation of resources and stuff versus where we are, and I think I totally agree with Miranda's comments of what we have learned in the past is don't get behind, and so far we're trying to keep it even right now, but I think this is one that I think Miranda's comments are spot on, that we've got to tailor that with what our resources are. We don't have to go too fast, but the worst thing we can do is go too slow. So I think this is one that we continue to think amongst ourselves and with the staff and director and come up with how we want to word those lines 145 to 148. Any other comments? Miranda, you want to continue on?
Yeah, there's just one more small change, page 6, line 177. Include conservation organizations as one of the stakeholder interests that we want to maintain timely, positive, and effective working relationships with. I would assume there's no objection to that. So I just want to wrap this up letting everyone know that this is exactly the kind of conversation that I had hoped for. This is the opportunity that we have to go on the record looking forward to the long-term management challenges, start our discussion, and I really appreciated the director's remarks and explaining his vision of how the commission will be kept involved through the development of the management plans in a way that we unfortunately didn't have the opportunity to do for the recovery plan. That assures me quite a bit. And so I will take all of these comments and work with those who have made the comments to come up with, if we can, acceptable language. I think we're very, very close. I think that this is an excellent statement, and there's a lot of harmony on the commission regarding what our key challenges are. So I appreciate the intelligent discussion. Thanks very much. All of you who opposed my proposals, that's fine. I appreciate the thinking. That's all that I was looking for.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Oh, yes, Commissioner Jennings.
In my email yesterday afternoon, I did have a few minor formatting suggestions, and a lot of those were initially identified by Commissioner Perry in a oral conversation with me that I forgot to include. Things like what should be italicized, what should not be, making sure that everything after a bullet is capitalized, and some minor things. So just to put that on the record.
Good.
Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Commissioner Keening, I think.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just had a couple other quick suggestions and just for thought. And one is in the guidelines and objectives, we were fairly thorough in talking about, you know, maintaining good populations and taking into account people's concerns. You know, it might be another bullet point to add in there, you know, just respect for the law. You know, these animals are still listed, and maybe something that, you know, talks a little bit about aggressively pursuing investigations of wolf poaching, you know, until that time where wolves are recovered. I also think we need to send a message that, you know, poaching is just unacceptable. And so I would suggest in those guidelines and objectives, that might be a place to do that. And then also back online, I'm sorry I have to go backwards, but I wasn't sure we were going to be talking about each line item. Trying to find it here. Where was the segment on, I think it was line 84. Oh, excuse me, line 85. I realize what this line is saying, that no other listed terrestrial species presents the potential for direct and significant predation on livestock and ungulate populations of wolves do. That's a factual statement. Few others cause concerns for public safety. I get a little bit topsy-turvy on that because that's also true if you're just talking about listed terrestrial species. But as Carter Niemeyer pointed out so well in the last 2 days as I listened to him, you know, wolves in terms of all predators are one of the least concerns from a public safety standpoint. So I just wanted to say that if that could be looked at a little bit more or talked about, it seems to leave a fear of wolves for public safety in our minds that doesn't seem to be backed up by the facts in other places. There is a fear. Don't get me wrong. There can be a fear of public safety, but the facts don't show that as few others cause concerns for public safety. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
As Commissioner Keening just pointed out, we are in the process of doing some training for our enforcement people as well as other enforcement people around the state on how to deal with wolf confirmations and declarations, and the training is going on. And the department has brought in a trainer from Idaho that's implementing this. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Director Anderson, but we have one now in Spokane and Ellensburg and Freda, is that correct?
Mr. Vice Chair, that's correct. The Freda one is today. Ellensburg was yesterday, I believe, and the Spokane one was first.
And I know that the department has people on the ground with one of the cattlemen helping them flag their calving area, and we're working with him on almost a daily basis, and they're working with him in terms of discussions how to protect his livestock at this time. And I believe we have our major elk hunting show in Spokane that brings in thousands of people, and we have a booth there that's talking about our new wolf communication plan and passing out literatures on how to phone, confirm, and everything. So we're doing a lot of things on the ground and actively pursuing these things. So I think that'll be an ongoing report for us going forward. Did I miss anything, Director Anderson, that's currently taking place?
I think you got the major points, Mr. Vice Chair. Thanks.
So things are moving forward, and I think we've discussed this initially. I think we've got to continue to give it a bit more thought. Give us your emails back and corrections, and we will pick this up at our next meeting as well. Are there any other general discussion questions? If not, at 10:09, we will adjourn the conference call. Thank you very much.